Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Am I on?
And welcome to From the Touchline in Seattle. This is Todd Stauber. I'm here with Aaron Heinzen. A little late on this, a little technical difficulties, but we are here. Heinz, are you with me in Seattle?
I am indeed, Stubbs. I am indeed.
Oh, sorry about that technical difficulty. Doing the show from up here in Bellingham, and we're having a little trouble, but we seem to be back on and back in the mix. A little bit of technical difficulties there, but we are now back. Heinzo, we got a huge show here. We got a lot to talk about. At the end of the day, we've lost 6 minutes or 7 minutes. So we need to really get moving here. And let's get right to it and talk Champions League, because we had quite a couple games there. And it really looked like Bayern Munich was going to make a match out of that when they scored early on in that match, Heinzo.
Absolutely. And I was getting pretty excited, but all it took was, after some great saves from Ter Stegen and then a little bit of Barcelona counterattack, one unbelievable Lionel Messi pass, a great run from Suarez, and it's all over with that Neymar goal. Then you see Bayern start to come back, but after the second one, you knew it was going to be too long of a road. You got to admire the run that they took at the very, the last half hour. You almost kind of thought that they could come back, but four goals was just too many. If they'd have kept it to one, I think it would have been a possibility. But, just tireless running from Mueller, and Bayern have the spirit. You can see Guardiola on the sideline trying to cheer everybody on and keep them going. But it was just a too little too late, I think. The devastation was the 3-0 loss in the first leg. It's just too much for them.
Well, I think you can look back to the third goal in injury time in the first leg. And that affected it as well. And, I think also, you had that. I think you also had, once the second goal was in, it was nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. It was always going to be difficult going back 3-0. But then when you're talking 4 and 5 and you're needing 6 goals, I think that's a difficult task for anybody. I mean, even a workman-like German team, but especially missing Ribéry and Robin, it's just impossible.
Right. Yeah, just the personnel there, just not enough options. Barcelona did a nice job closing things down. Lewandowski, he had a lot of chances, though. But I think Ter Stegen had a great game. And
he did.
A couple
he
chances
did have a
went
great
missing
game
there for the Polish international. And if he converts those early on, including Benatia, who had a second header chance not long after his first one, he puts that one in, and then Bayern could have been up 4-0 or 4-1 in the first part of the half, but just wasn't meant to be. Once they got that second one, it was just all over for him.
Well, and let's talk about Benatia, because, I mean, he had a shocker. In the second goal, he's been caught so far out of shape. And the ball's been flipped on by the smallest guy on the field with his head.
Right.
And Suarez is in, and now Suarez has found Neymar, and that's two, and it's going to be impossible at that point. I just feel like if you really look back at Bayern and where they, at the end of the day, they weren't able to defend this group. Now that brings up the question: can anybody defend this group? If Bayern Munich can't, can anybody? And we're going to find out, because if anybody can do it, it's Juve, and they proved it.
Right.
They've held Real Madrid, to one goal from the run of play in two legs. Obviously, it was, they got the goal on the penalty in this second leg. But let's talk a little bit about the Juventus-Real Madrid game. It was a game, I think, that if you were to pull 90%, a million soccer fans in the world, you would have got 90% of those people to say Real Madrid's going to score a goal and they're gonna, back at home and they're going to win this. And it just didn't happen that way, obviously. And I mean, I think Juventus might have been the only ones that believed differently.
Yeah, I think they came in with the attitude that they had to work together well as a team and defensively be solid. And the one thing nice for Juventus was they've already won the league title, so they've got that done and in the bag. So they can focus completely on the Champions League. And, you know, you bring Paul Pogba back into that mix. You add Pirlo in there, Buffon in the back. I mean, it's a very, very experienced team. They know that this is their one chance to do this. You know, there's a lot of age in there, including Patrice Evra. Like I said, Pirlo before. You have the young players. Even Carlos Tevez is not the youngest guy anymore. And you have class
right. Like
Morata coming from Real Madrid. So it's a nice combination. They know now is their time to do it. And they're, you know, they're not going to lose their heads, especially when they went up like that. And then you saw the substitutions that they started to make from Allegri. And it was all over. You could just see him shutting the gates there.
Yeah.
You know, you got Vidal, who just works so hard and then comes in, and then he's taken off and Perea goes on. They went to a back five at the very end. And you could see Real Madrid just, they had a lot of chances. They had the ball at the last 15 minutes, but there was no getting past that whole crew. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Real Madrid, the one team you don't want to look across the field and see them starting to lose the game is Juventus or any Italian team, mind you. I thought there was a couple potential dodgy non-penalty calls. I mean, when Chicharito's going for that header and Everett comes over the back of him, is that a penalty?
Yeah, it could have been. You know, I think it's one of those where it could go either way. You know, you've seen it happen
good.
On
but
both times. And does his leg, does he trip? Does he slip? You know, it kind of looked like from one angle, and it didn't look like it from another. It's just one of those where you're not always going to get him.
I agree, but Real Madrid had a ton of possession. They had chances. I thought Gareth Bale was highly disappointing in that game. He had chances, missed two headers I thought he should have finished. You know, he got a couple strikes on goal, a little wide, right to the keeper. You know, I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later in Two Touch. I thought overall in both legs, I mean, I didn't have a dog in the race. I'm not a Real Madrid fan. I'm not even interested. I'm not even – I could care less either way. I just wanted to see a good game. And I thought Juventus was better in both games. I just thought they were. I thought on the night, this last night, even though, Real gets the early penalty, you could just – I mean, we were watching the game together, Hanzo. You could sense that Juventus was going to score.
Yes, absolutely. Morata
was something
an incredible performance. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. So it was a great game.
Yeah.
Very impressive. And I think, you know, everyone's talking about Barcelona in the front three, but I think you got to talk about the back line of Juventus, the leadership of Buffon, the presence of Pogba and Pirlo. I mean, this is a very, very, very difficult team. Just kind of hiding away, beating everybody in Italy when the Italian league's kind of down and out right now in Europe. But Juventus are the real deal. There's no question about it. And they have the experience.
Well, you look around, they've got world-class players all over the place in that lineup. I will say this. I was Paul Pogba. I know he's coming off the injury. I didn't think he was very good in the last game against Real Madrid. I thought he was dead at him.
I liked him. I enjoyed him. I think you may hear more about him later on in the show.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay. That's great.
You're right. He wasn't an unbelievable standout, but I thought just for his age, his poise on the ball, he did get the assist on Morata with that header. I just think, especially being out for so many weeks and playing in such a massive game like that, going right back in, I was impressed, I think, in the end. You know, you expect more lightning flashes and lightning from a player like that who's probably going to be sold for 50 million pounds or more, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he is the real deal, playing and going in, playing in the Bernabeu, like that, and in a second leg match in the Champions League semifinal after having been out for so many weeks. I mean, the last Champions League game he played in was Borussia Dortmund in the quarterfinals. Way back.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I don't think that he's. I mean, I don't think he's a bad player. I just in that game, I didn't think he had a massive effect on things and how they went overall. But you know. He certainly he give him another, you know, give him until June 6th to get fit, and I think you're looking at a different Pogba.
Right, I agree. Yeah, he could be. I mean, he could be even better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping he's going to be even better. I think that. Okay. So here's the question I have for you: Can Juventus stop those top three? Can anybody stop the top three? Can Juventus do it?
I think they can. I mean, yeah. But I mean, here's the deal: you've got. Can anyone stop Lionel Messi? No. But you know, you've got an experienced guys, and both Chiellini and Patrice Evra know Luis Suarez very well, especially Evra. And Evra has proven in the past he can stop Luis Suarez, no problem. Get into his head. So that's an unbelievable matchup right there. On the other side, I think Neymar,
no problem, that's for sure.
Yeah, Neymar is, a wonderful player, I think, and obviously extremely dynamic and extremely exciting. Again, you're playing against Italian defenders like Leonardo Bonucci, the Swiss man Lichtsteiner. Those are veteran players. Andrea Barzagli, who we saw come in at the very end of the Juventus game. I mean, those are guys. Giorgio Chiellini, like I said, those are people that aren't going to just going to defend with everything they've got, tooth and nail. You're going to have to fight for every little bit of ground. And I'm not sure Barcelona have quite seen that kind of defensive pressure in the past. Obviously, they're going to prepare for it, and Lionel Messi is going to be a big time decider. But it's going to be fascinating.
I think fascinating is a good word for it because, I mean, you really do. I mean, you've got, I mean, maybe one of the top three attacking groups that we've ever seen, assembled.
Absolutely.
And then you're talking about, I mean, and you're right. I mean, Juventus is back four or back five, whichever they played at a certain time within the Champions League. I mean, they've been very good, and I agree with you 100% on it, where nobody thought or talked about Juventus. I mean, we talked about this last week on the show. Italian league a little down this year. Nobody's really talking about, you know, no AC Milan, no Inter Milan. And here they come, and you watch that team play, and that is a world-class team that you're watching play in Juventus. And I think this final on June 6th is going to be something very special.
Absolutely. No question. And another fun little fact that I kind of dug up here is Buffon and Pirlo both won the World Cup in this stadium back in 2006. So,
ooh,
they know
that, is some digging that you've done there, Heinzo. That's a great point. Well, and I think Buffon's leadership and Pirlo's leadership in that group is paramount. I mean, these guys, I mean, we talked about it while we were watching the game. I mean, Pirlo's 35 and looks 55. Buffon is 37 and Buffon looks 97, and you feel like he has 97 years of experience when he's back there. I mean, they just I think there's an aura about them that they inject into the rest of that team. And you know, when you add Lichtsteiner, you add Evra, you add Pogba, you add Tevez, I mean, there's a, you know, add Chiellini, I mean, there's a lot of quality players in that group. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they can do it, but I think if anybody can, it's going to be them.
Yeah, they certainly have. I mean, Barcelona are not going to overlook them for sure. It would be at their peril. Do you want to hear the last time Barcelona and Juventus met in the Champions League, Sobs?
I would like to hear that, Heinz. Talk to me.
We have to go back to April 2003, the second leg of the quarterfinals. The first leg was 1-1, and Paulo Montero got it for Juventus, and Javier Saviola scored at the very end. So it's 1-1 going into the second leg. Here's your starting lineup for Barcelona. You have Roberto Bonanno in goal, Michael Reisiger, Frank de Boer, Patrick Anderson, and Carlos Puyol are your back line for Barcelona. Xavi's in the midfield, who incidentally gets the goal for Barcelona. Javier Saviola from Argentina is there. Patrick Kluivert's there. Mark Overmars. And guess who's the captain? None other than Luis Enrique. Thiago Motta is also in this game for Barcelona.
Wow, Thiago Motta is in that game.
Yeah, Thiago Motta. So on the other side, Buffon
was
in goal
13?
Yeah, this is 2003.
So Thiago Motta was 13 years old?
Yes, he is. He's just recently out of elementary school.
Yeah, and just coming off puberty, Thiago Motta will be now entered into the Barcelona starting 11 in the Champions League.
Okay.
So Buffon, of course, is in goal on the other side. And then these are some classic names from, like, late 90s Juventus when they last won the Champions League. Ciro Ferrara, Alessio Tacchinardi, and then Paolo Montero, of course. The captain's Del Piero. Pavel Nedved's in the game. Mauro Camoranesi, Marco De Vio, Gianluca Zambrotta. Remember, he goes to Barcelona not long after this. Lilian Thuram, remember that? Frenchman outside back. And Edgar Davids, who, no surprise, gets two yellows and eventually a red card. But in the end, Marcelo Zalayeta, goals from Nedved and substitute Marcelo Zalayeta, Juventus win 2-1 on the day in overtime. And go ahead and 3-2 aggregate, Juventus win. So that's the last time these two teams met.
Well, 2003. So we're talking basically about 12 years ago.
Yeah, long time.
Wow,
big game,
and a lot of people involved in the tie there. That's unbelievable. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on from the Touchline in Seattle. We're on every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. Catch us on Twitter from the Touchline in Seattle. We're talking Champions League. I do have one question here, Heinzo. Real Madrid played a very, very tough league game last week against Valencia, ended up, I believe, a 2-2 draw. Played a lot of their regular players. Real Madrid did. Played a lot of their regular players. Do you think that had any effect going into this game against Juventus? Do you think maybe they just, I mean, having to play, you know, you mentioned Juventus had already won the league title, so they could play, you know, teenagers in any of their league games. Real Madrid still obviously battling for the La Liga title. And that's still going on domestically. Do you think that had any effect on the outcome of this match with Juventus?
Yeah, I think it has to. I mean, even with the size of their squad, they're trying to play catch up, trying to grab something for Barcelona, and I think that adds a little bit of pressure and definitely some exhaustion in there on those legs. I mean, especially when you have to work so hard to try and break down a Juventus team who gets an early goal like that for Morata, who's always going to be an uphill battle. And there's been, you know, talks throughout the season, especially with some injuries to Khedira, Modric, Benzema was out for a long time, but Toni Kroos has played just about every single minute Real Madrid have had all season. I mean, how are his legs anymore? You know, how many times can Ronaldo come through and score goals for you? That kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think absolutely. Gareth Bale, like you said, not being in the form he had last year. I mean, some of those chances that he had, those go in last season for him, don't go in this year. And it just came up that, there is definitely a reason that no one has been able to repeat as European Champions League champions. You know, it's very, very difficult. And everybody gets up for you knowing that you were the champions last year. And Real Madrid, their number came up this time around the semifinals. It's always semifinals, so tough to get through.
Yeah, well, it's been a great Champions League season. I mean, we've watched a lot of these games together, Heinzo. It's really been a great season. And I think coming down to this final, I'm much happier with this final than if it would have been a Clásico final, just because, you know, like you said, we haven't seen this. This is 12 years coming that we've seen these two teams play in the Champions League to get them in the final. And I think, you know, while Barca Real is always good,
right,
it's something that we get more on the regular, and I think this final is just going to be a fitting and great end to this Champions League season, which has been a great one. And I say that, I mean, even without Manchester United in, and me being a United fan, I can still look at this and say it was a great this was a great Champions League season. I think.
Right, I think so too. Saw some excellent matches, and you know, the Champions League it's becoming the competition in the world soccer. You know, the World Cup is a very special thing, but this displays, you know, the best teams, I think you have to say.
Yeah,
no question about
it. I think the fact that you get this every year and the World Cup only every 4 years plays into that, you know, a little bit. So, you know, it's good. You got Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We are talking Champions League, but we're going to move on here. We're going to move on to there's something going on this weekend that I think is very special. Steven Gerrard Liverpool's captain, 17 years at the club. He's been the captain since he was age 23 in 2003. He's going to be moving on. He's going to be moving actually on to here, to LA. And he's, you know, he's done some great things there at Liverpool. And we've actually got Fran O'Brien. We've actually got Fran O'Brien, former Irish international and known Liverpool supporter. We've got him on the line here. Fran, are you with us?
Yes, Todd. How are you doing?
Good, Franner. You got Aaron Hines in here is on the line as well, Fran.
Yeah, how you doing, Aaron?
Hey, Fran.
How are you?
We're talking Liverpool and we're talking Steven Gerrard and a big weekend there. Obviously, Steven Gerrard will play his last game at Anfield, Fran. But also, we're talking about the anniversary of the Hillsborough disaster, and you know, I think two things that really you know, I think Steven Gerrard is obviously a staple as a Liverpool in the club of Liverpool, and also the Hillsborough disaster. You know, talk a little bit about Steven Gerrard and what he's meant to this club, Fran.
Well, he's a legend in his own way, Todd. I think he's, you know, he's a true professional, great guy, great lad, very modest, very down to earth, and they're going to a big loss for Liverpool after this weekend. A big game for the MLS, I think, in regards to class midfielder coming over here. But yeah, he's going to be sadly missed, and again, true professional, took it really well that, you know, comes a day when you have to hang up your boots, and I think he felt that the pace of the game just left them. It's top class league, so very difficult.
Yeah. Well, you could see in the last couple of years, I mean, obviously he slowed down, but he's still been able to, you know, score some important goals. He just got one last weekend, and he's still been able to do a lot, you know, even as his career has faded there a little bit at Liverpool. Do you think that, you know, as Brendan Rodgers obviously came on, into Liverpool, Steven Gerrard started to play less and less. Do you think it's a good relationship there with Rodgers and Gerrard, and this is just a byproduct of Gerrard just kind of declining in his ability to play at a high level? Or do you think that there's something there that's not quite right between Rodgers and Steven Gerrard?
Well, I think there's something not right, obviously. I mean, but again, you know, you look at his age and as you say, he's still scoring goals at this age. I think the biggest loss was Suarez and the big lad up front that they're missing on goal scoring. Yeah, and I think they were a big help to him because he could have so many assists and everything else. And still to this day, he could still score goals. So it's what Rodgers brings around him that would have more or less kept him there for another year or two at least. But at some point, he had to just hang up his boots and move on. And but yeah, I think there was a bit of a sour taste there between Brendan Rodgers and him.
Yeah, it's always seemed that way. I don't think it's ever been made public. And I think, to be honest, I mean, like you said, Steven Gerrard, a true professional, I think he loves that club so much. I don't think he would allow a row between himself and Brendan Rodgers to even come into the fold and let anybody know that was going on. You know, but one interesting fact that I dug up here was that Steven Gerrard was named captain at age 23 after only 5 years playing in the first team in 2003. And he was named captain over Sammy Hypia, Jamie Carragher, and Michael Owen. I think to me that says a lot about Steven Gerrard and what the people at Liverpool saw in him as a young lad. What can you say about that, Fran, knowing that he was picked captain over those three guys?
Well, again, I think he was, he's come now the ranks, you know, in the Liverpool ranks. And he was a true inspiration to the team. Class act, up and down the field, a bit like Roy Keane in a way. I think he scored more goals than Roy Keane. But I think it's just a class act for him. And I think he, again, is going to be sadly missed.
Yeah,
I think it'll take a long time before they can replace him. I don't think there's anybody around them at the moment that can do it. So how he finds another player of his character and personality, I don't think he's going to do it right now.
Yeah, could be tough.
Fran, for you, knowing Liverpool's had so many great players down the years, where does Steven Gerrard fit in there for you in between, like Ian Rush and Kenny Dalglish and such?
Absolutely, amongst them all. I mean, again, when you score goals from the midfield position the way he has, I think it's a big plus. And he has to be up there with Dalglish and Fowler and Rush and Michael Owen. And I think people realize that at Liverpool. And he's going to get a hell of a send-off when it comes Saturday. But also on the flip side of it, I think the MLS are gaining a true pro, a true professional. And maybe we can see the likes of some young American players coming through the midfield role as Steven Gerrard did in the EPL.
Yeah. Well, that's a
good point.
Well, and I think if you're in the MLS, and if you're a defender in the MLS right now, you're really not looking forward to the combination of Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane. I don't think any player in the MLS wants to play against those two guys together.
Yeah, I think again, they're going to gain a lot from his class and his experience. So I think it's a great plus for the MLS.
Yeah, I think LA's seeing that already with Robbie Keane kind of guiding along Jossy Zardes already.
Yeah. Because he'll find them all the time. And I think that's right. You can see Robbie can be seen getting frustrated at times, you know, not getting the right pass or not getting the right pace of the ball. But I think Gerrard will do that. It'll be a big test for Gerrard. I mean, even at 35, I think his experience will take him through. But at 35, playing on the East Coast through that humidity and everything else, it's going to be a big test for him. Playing in L.A. is okay. Yeah. But when you go at the East Coast and playing in that hot humidity, we'll see how it works. But again, his class and his experience, I think, will carry him through.
Yeah. Well, and I think also it'll be interesting to see a player who spent his entire life, 17 years of his career in one environment, and to go to a new environment and get a new start and everything else. It'll be interesting to see how Steven Gerrard reacts to that and how, you know, maybe it'll give a little life into him and you know, being in a new environment, new country, and you know, that excitement that comes along with that. It'll be interesting to see if that gives him a little kick, and you know, we might see something, you know, that we haven't seen from Gerrard in a few years when he gets here.
Well, that's it. It's a new challenge for him, but he always gave 100%. So coming over here, I don't think it's a new thing. It will be new, but it'll take a little bit of time, but I don't think it'll take that much. I mean, he's played in the European Cup so many times. He's played in the World Cup so many times. So to me, it'd be just another journey for him, and I think he'll be thereabouts.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it. Hanzo, you got anything else for Franner?
No, Fran, thank you very much. That was absolutely fantastic. I guess I have one... Yeah. Well, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, they had the Hillsborough disaster anniversary again from that thing in 1989. It was back in April 15th, about a month ago now, I guess, today. But do you think that will kind of tie in, or is this all going to be about Steven Gerrard? I know they do something every year, but around the same time. It's an emotional time for the moment.
Well, again, that's it. Sad. It's sad in a lot of ways, like the Hillsborough disaster, and also sad for Steven Gerrard to leave there, and it'll be a hell of a send off for him, and a sad occasion for the Hillsborough.
Yeah. Do you? I guess that kind of brings me to my next thing, talking about, you know, Sterling, who hasn't signed, and Sturridge with the injuries, and kind of rumors about Klopp coming over from Borussia Dortmund. Do you think Roger stays for another year?
I think they'll give him another year. I think, you know, again, when they lost the two strikers and they tried to fill the gap with Balotelli and Lambert, and it didn't happen. You know, obviously he'd be looking for more money to buy players, but where do you get them? I mean, there's not that many out there, and it depends on how the ownership looks at it. Should we get someone else in? But under the circumstances of what he had and what he had to buy so late in the season before it started last year, I think they'll give him another year.
Yeah, well, certainly Balotelli didn't work out, and he'll be going elsewhere. I'm guessing to a mid-table Italian league club, but I think part of the Rodgers situation there, Heinzo, is that, as we know, it's a board of directors that brings in those players. He doesn't have full control over it, so it's got to be frustrating for a guy like him. Similar to Pep Guardiola at Bayern, where you've got, you know, you basically.
you basically have Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and Franz Beckenbauer telling you which players are coming in and which players are going out. And you have the same thing at Liverpool there, except you probably have guys that aren't as experienced and knowledgeable as those two German guys telling you who's coming in and out of the club. So it's got to be frustrating for them.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah. Not easy combination to create.
Surely. Well, listen, Fran, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Fran O'Brien, former Irish international, former NASL and MISL star here in the United States. And Fran, love having you on. Thanks for the insight on Liverpool, and we'll talk to you again soon here.
Yeah, let's hope Steven Gerrard rubs off on all these young American midfielders that we can get out there and produce some good ones.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Absolutely.
All right, Fran O'Brien, thanks so much, Fran. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Now, always good getting Fran around there, Heinzo.
Absolutely. I love hearing his opinion. Great stuff.
Absolutely.
Love to get more of that European Championship qualifying startup again with Ireland in the mix.
Yeah, we do need to get him back on for sure. He's great insight. But, you know, one other thing about Steven Gerrard, we talked a little bit pre-show about this, but the only player to score in an FA Cup final, an English League Cup final, a Champions League final, and a Europa Cup final. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable achievement. Not many players say they can do they've done that.
There's no players that can even come close to saying that, I don't think.
Right. I think what's really fascinating to me about Steven Gerrard is, well, aside from his, you know, massive character and, you know, he's a legendary figure in English and world soccer, but the fact that he's never won a Premier League title makes him even more interesting, I think. You just kind of watch him go through these moments of great highs, like winning the Champions League title, to unbelievable lows like he's had this last year. You know, the slip against Chelsea to finish second in the Premier League, the really tough World Cup where he was also beaten against Uruguay, and Uruguay came back and won that game to knock England out of the World Cup finals, his last World Cup finals this last summer. And the guy always seems to just carry himself through these things no matter what. Comes out, like Fran said, a class act, and someone who says, yes, you know, that happened, where a lot of people, for a lot of players, say, well, I don't even know if I can move on in my career, you know.
Yeah.
And it just kind of marks him. And Steven Gerrard just keeps going from one thing to the next and always kind of stays very even keel.
Yeah. And the other thing to me that, you know, I obviously as a United supporter, you know, I don't like Chelsea, Liverpool, City, or Arsenal. But to me, City is definitely on the top of that, and Liverpool is definitely on the bottom of that because of Steven Gerrard. Because when I look at Liverpool, I think Steven Gerrard, you know, and when I think about that, I think about after they, you know, in 2004 when Jose Mourinho tried to get him to come to Chelsea, offered him a ton of money, offered him the world, he didn't go. So, you know, he obviously goes and wins the European Cup. Now they want him again. But, you know, he was a kid that stood on the cop and watched Liverpool. And to him, putting on that jersey and being the captain of that team meant more than anything that anybody else could offer him at any point. I mean, it could have been Real Madrid. After he won that European Cup, he could have played for any team in the world for any amount of money that he wanted to get. And he decided to stay at Liverpool. He wanted to be there. And even when he almost left and said he was going to leave and they started burning his jerseys in Liverpool, he still came back and decided he wanted to stay there. And to me, that's always said, you know, that's always told me kind of who Steven Gerrard is and what kind of character this guy has.
Right. No, I totally agree. There's not many players that in this day and age that stick around and represent the club completely. And obviously, Gerrard's moving on to LA Galaxy, but, you know, the bulk of his career is obviously known in Liverpool. And you kind of compare him, I guess, with a little bit with Ryan Giggs, Manchester United, obviously Maldini at AC Milan.
Yep.
I mean, those guys did completely do their entire careers, but, you know, Gerrard moving on to Galaxy, so I suppose it's a little bit different, but at the same time, he really does completely represent the club and has spent enough time, like you said, 17 years. That's unbelievable.
Well, and I think for me, like, you know, for a guy, he's not being unloyal by going to LA Galaxy. If he went to another Premier League club, I would question that a little bit. But, you know, he's basically retiring from European football, and he's starting a new career.
Right.
He might as well be going to be a blacksmith right now, because he's doing something completely different, you know. And I don't see that, you know, taking away at all from his commitment to Liverpool and his devotion to that club. And you know, I mean, really, you just have to tip your hat to him, because the guy's played in a ton of games. And like you said, he's been through the ups, he's been through the downs. And the one thing, he never won a Premier League title. At all. Everything he accomplished, everything he did in 17 years there, he never won a Premier League title. And I think that says a little bit more about the state of Liverpool than it does about the state of Steven Gerrard.
No question about that. No question.
Well, you're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here from the Touchline in Seattle. We're on every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're on Blog Talk Radio, and we are on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. We're going to move on here from Steven Gerrard. And where would you like to go, Heinzen?
Well, there's so many places to go. We could stay in England.
Stay in England?
Yeah, I think the last little bit of what England has to offer in the Premier League.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's talk. Let's talk. I do want to talk about this. I think that we could have a reverse deflate gate going on in England. Tom Brady is here. He's taking the air out of the football. I think that in England, John Terry is overinflating the balls that Chelsea plays with, so that when they strike his head, they smash into the goal really far, really hard and really fast. I believe there's a reverse deflate gate going on in England. What do you think?
The ball is pumped up too hard. You know, I can't hit it. It's John Terry messing around with it. You know, I think...
John Terry has a head with nothing in it, so when it's really hard and it hits his head, it just smashes off at him the goal, so he doesn't care. He's okay with it being overpumped. It's nobody else that can deal with it.
I think, John Terry, he's definitely proven himself this year to be continue to bounce back and show he's a massive leader and a massive figure in Premier League soccer. I mean, especially at his age, to still what he did, perform day in and day out to win the Premier League over the season. Yeah, no question. I mean,
yeah,
is he a tough character from time to time? Absolutely, but he's earned his respect, I think.
Yeah, no, I think so. I don't like him, though. So we'll talk about him a little later. Let's talk about Premier League games on the tap, on the docket this weekend, tomorrow, Saturday, that are going to have any kind of importance. Obviously, we know Liverpool hosting Crystal Palace, big game for them, just Steven Gerrard. Also, they're still in the hunt for Europa League. I mean, they're still battling with Tottenham and Southampton. We've got Tottenham hosting Hull City. Hull City on the brink of relegation, big game for them. That could be a really good match right there, Hanzo.
Absolutely. Yeah, Hull City, you know, scraping away. They're only 2 points behind Newcastle United, or facing QPR, so Newcastle have to. In fact, Newcastle United have canceled their end-of-the-season banquet next week because they're not even safe. So I think it's all hands on deck for those guys. And lucky for them, Queen's Park Rangers are already out of it. So maybe they're playing a team with not much left to give and kind of calling it the end of their season and trying to rebuild for next year. Or they could find some team that wants to reach out from the falling pit and pull them down with them. So both those teams are going to be, you know, it's going to be one of those, both those teams are going to be given absolutely everything. And, you know, Hull City is going to do absolutely everything they can to not go down. Just,
oh, yeah.
Like we talked
well,
about,
but then... Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Sunderland Leicester, because that's another big one right there. That's
absolutely
a huge one, Sunderland Leicester. I mean, that Leicester's on fire, and Villa, you know, I mean, they've got a little dancing gesture coach, but they've also got Christian Benteke, and I mean, that's gonna be a huge game right there, because I mean, if Hull gets the points, if Newcastle doesn't get the point, I mean, it's anything could happen right now. Literally anything could happen at the bottom of that table.
Right. I mean, Southampton are basically, well, they could still capture, you know, if Spurs and Liverpool don't win, they could still capture a Europa League spot, but
they still can do that. They have that on the slide, but that's an important game for Villa. And you've got Sunderland Leicester there. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Two games that will have absolutely zero
impact on anything is Burnley Stoke City and West Ham versus Everton. Nothing will happen in either of those games.
And of course, you got the classic Manchester United versus Arsenal this weekend, which could be.
Well, that's moving on. That's moving on to Sunday.
Oh yeah.
Sunday morning, yeah. Sunday morning, City Swansea, United Arsenal, and I think the City Swansea game is just kind of a maybe going through the motions, but United Arsenal, that's going to be a game, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, reality is, I feel like Arsenal's in form and United isn't, and
right.
You know, you go into it, you know, at Old Trafford, you bring Arsenal in, anything goes at that point.
Absolutely. You know, United getting the win the first time these two teams met back in the fall, but it's a different Arsenal now. Manchester United, like you said, they're just kind of sputtering. They just need a point to secure Champions League. That's obviously their big concern. Arsenal are in. Do they want second place? Of course they do. They have a game in hand, so I think they're pretty confident. But what I think we'll see is still a full-on game. You know, both teams playing for pride. Arsene Wenger knows, though, I think he's got the team that's on the hunt and definitely has the momentum going on, and Manchester United just trying to get this season over with and be in the Champions League for next year.
Yeah, well, and you know, I mean, they do need these points desperately to get in there. And I think if you were going to look at, at the start of the year, what the goal for United and Louis van Gaal was, it was to return to the Champions League. And you know, they're close to it, and it hasn't. They haven't got there smoothly. It hasn't happened easily, but they're on the brink of it.
Right. Absolutely. And I think just the fact that Michael Carrick's not there. I mean, who do you put in that midfield to try and shut some of those guys down? Ramsey, Cazorla, you know, it's just one onslaught after another of players that are playing so well right now. Sanchez coming off the forward line, Giroud. It's a really swift attacking team, and I think Arsenal are going to – I think you're going to see them all over Manchester United right now. They're not Rooney's out for the game, so it's going to be a tough one for United. I think I will be able to get a draw and hope that they get their point and call it a day.
Right. Well, here we are, still very important games being played, and the excitement is just, it's fantastic. What can you say about it? I mean, you got to love it. So looking forward to the games this weekend, certainly in the Premier League. And I just can't wait to see how this, this relegation battle pans out. On the other side of relegation, obviously, is promotion. Coming up from English League 2 into League 1 is going to be Southend United, Southend on the sea there. There were 4-2 aggregate winners over Stevenage in their playoff. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They're going to be playing in the final against Wycombe Wanderers, who were 2-1 winners over Plymouth Argyle on the day, aggregate 5-3. Wycombe Wanderers, Southend United will be playing off to see who goes into League One here. And in the other side of things, coming up into the Premier League, you have Brentford and Middlesbrough playing tonight or today. Actually, they're going to start at 11:45 tonight in England, and that's going to be to get into the final of that matchup there. Exciting things happening.
Absolutely.
Exciting things happening. You've also got, you also have tomorrow Ipswich and Norwich playing. So they're going to, their aggregate 1-1, second leg of that. So winner of that, it obviously will go in because Middlesbrough and Brentford also 1-1 on aggregate. So those two winners will play off to see who gets that last Premier League spot. So should be exciting to see who gets that. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. And every Friday morning, 9 a.m., we're on Blog Talk Radio and the Back Sports Cage Radio Network. Heinzen, we're going to move on to our three segments here, and we're going to start with your World 11.
Well, my World 11 for this week, of course, as always, coached and managed by Scott Gibson of FTI, old Scott Gibby. This week, we've selected in goal is Marc-Andre Ter Stegen of Barcelona, the German goalkeeper. He was fantastic going back to Germany, playing against Bayern Munich, and I think he really held them at the very beginning, especially the one he pulled back from rolling into the line. That would have been 2-0 there for Bayern Munich, and they would have been really rolling at that point. You would have saw Barcelona on their heels, but big save for him there. Fantastic performance. In the back line, I'm going with the back four. Leonardo Bonucci is in there. He had a wonderful game against Real Madrid. Obviously, he had some help in there. I would have brought in Giorgio Chiellini as well, but he had that penalty on James Rodriguez, so Chiellini's out. Daniel Carrico, he's with Sevilla. Portuguese man, big-time Europa League winner, and he gets a goal. Sevilla easily beaten Fiorentina, held the Italians off in Italy, and they're into the Europa League final again. Douglas from Dniprovitz. Congratulations to them. 1-0 win over Napoli. He's a big part of that. So,
and his name is Douglas?
Yes, Douglas, the Brazilian player. Plays for the Ukrainian club, Dniprovitz. Didn't you know that stuff?
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. Like, usually Brazilian players, they come up with, like Neymar or Pele. But, I mean,
right.
Well, I guess you do have Fred. But Douglas just doesn't seem like one that you're going to deal one word name. I think it's Douglas.
Well done, Douglas. I don't know the backstory on his name where he picked up Douglas, but nonetheless.
Maybe you just go Doug? I don't know. Do you go Doug there or do you go Douglas?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Douglas.
I don't know.
Is
okay,
pretty...
well, continue on. I'm enjoying this World 11.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, number four in the defense, we have Stefan Lichtsteiner. I thought he was very good against Real Madrid. Was active.
Great call. He was fantastic. I thought he was very good. Agreed.
Yeah, he had to. So he has to go in there. Saw Lichtsteiner recently play in the last international game for Switzerland against the United States. I don't think he played. That was a friendly, so he wasn't as quite on as he was this last week. But nonetheless, Stefan Lichtsteiner in there. I went with three in the midfield again. Of course, a little nod to the greatness retiring from Liverpool. I put Steven Gerrard in there. He would be the captain. You know, that's a little nod towards you as well.
Fantastic.
That's a good call.
Yeah,
I agree with you. You know, especially against the equalizer goal against Chelsea this last week. And, as we've talked enough about it. But so he's in there. I included Paul Pogba. I know that's not your top pick, but I think with his return, playing in a game, big game like that, getting the assist for Alvaro Morata's goal, I thought Pogba was solid, and I can't wait to see what else this guy's going to do in the next, in the final and beyond. And also in there, not making the front line for whatever reason, which, because he can play pretty much anywhere on the field, I have to have Lionel Messi in there, mainly because he didn't do that much at the very end of the game, but that pass to Luis Suarez was out of this world. And you just can't have him playing in the week and then not in the team. So anyway, Lionel Messi's in the midfield this time around. Because Yevhen Seleznov is going to be playing on the right. The Dnipro guy got one goal again to get his team a 1-0 win over Napoli. Huge, huge goal for him. He scored in the away game as well in the first leg against the Italian side on that header in the last minute, even though it was ruled to be, Napoli called it offsides. And if you look at the replay, it is offsides, but he's converted the goal. He did score just before the first leg. He scored his 100th goal in the Ukrainian league. So, he could put it in the back of the net. He goes into the top 11 this week. Alvaro Morata is my center forward. Fantastic, fantastic performance against his old club. Must have been really emotional for him. You could see he wasn't even cheering Stauber when he scored that goal.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Anyway,
I know.
But the way he's holding up the ball.
You were, though, Heinzen. You were cheering enough for him and yourself, so that's okay.
I was. I wanted him. I just like the guy. I think Juventus just pulled off something amazing.
They did.
Yeah, and here's another interesting fact, actually, that I read in the New York Times, as a matter of fact, that when Juventus were signing his contract, his agent, Alvaro Morata's agent, had to specifically ask, because Real Madrid wanted to put in a clause that Morata could not, if they happened to run into him in the Champions League, Morata could not play. But his agent got out of that. So that was reported in the New York Times yesterday.
Well, look at you reading the New York Times, Heinzo. Just such a...
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm browsing
such a culture guy. He's just a culture guy, Heinzo.
So lucky for Juventus that his agent was able to get that line scrapped. Otherwise, we wouldn't have even seen him in the game. So exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting times. And finally, Neymar on the left for his grace against Bayern Munich. You know, he didn't have to do too much other than be at the right place at the right time for the most part. But he did have a nice conversion on that second goal near post.
Yeah, those aren't easy finishes. I mean,
not easy. The first one was fairly easy, but second goal was a good finish. So Neymar goes in
there. Definitely.
Kind of a nod to you know, maybe on the bench or something like that. Edson Cavani scored a hat trick. PSG practically wrapped up the League One, but Cavani scored a hat trick last week against Gugnon in a 6-0 win.
Oh, Larry White.
Larry White winning title. Who knows if he'll be there or not next year, but anyways, hat trick for him, which is
all right. Well, there's your Heinzo's World 11. He even gave you a bench sitter, and as of every week, he gives you a manager for the team in Scott Gibson from FTI. It's a good World 11. I like that one better than last week, even. I'm gonna counter with the bottom three here, and as we know, I do the bottom three of life, not just soccer. I've got one outside of soccer, two in soccer. I'm going to do two teams, though, that I just watched play last weekend and just found myself in utter disgust. In the third spot is Newcastle United, because just I can't believe these guys are professionals playing the way they are and approaching things the way they are. It's just such a performance in watching their game, even though they tied the match. It was just I just can't believe they're professionals, and there's just no emotion to it. I just can't believe. Even worse than them, though, in the second spot is Queen's Park Rangers. On the brink of relegation, right, and to lose a game in that fashion, 6-0 on the brink,
right,
of relegation. And to see just to see the approach and everything. I mean, as bad as I think Newcastle is, they're worse. So I'm going to give it to QPR. And rounding out the bottom three and on top of the bottom three, I'm going to go Tom Brady. And I'm going to go Tom Brady because even though this is American football, just come out and admit that you deflated the football. It's not really that big of a deal. You haven't taken HGH. You aren't taking steroids. You're not killing anybody. You're not committing a crime. You just let some air out of the football, but now you're making it worse by lying about it and denying it. Just admit you let the air out of the footballs. It's not that big of a deal. And when you do that, then John Terry can admit that he's putting air in the footballs, and that's why they come off his head so hard when he's in games in Chelsea.
You think those guys are talking on the phone? You think those two?
They might be.
Yeah.
The amount of air that's coming out of the footballs here, Tom Brady's giving it to John Terry to put in the balls there. And they're smashing off of his head and going 90 miles an hour. Nobody can save them when they take corner kicks. I mean, if you look at the goal he scored last week, I mean, when that ball hit his head, he was like falling backwards and didn't even really snap his head at it, yet the ball's coming off his head very fast and hard into that goal. Something is going on there. The balls are overdeflated, I think. I'm still calling for it's a reverse deflate gate. It's an inflate gate going on in Chelsea.
That's fantastic. Bottom three, Tom. Well done.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna finish off the show here with a little Q-touch, Heinz. I got some questions for you here, and I just want you to answer them honestly. And I want you to, you know, just I don't want you to take too much time.
Nope.
I just want you to answer them honestly.
Okay.
Dini Pro or Sevilla? Who wins that game?
Sevilla. Historically, I think they're just a better team.
Barca or Juve? Who wins that game?
Oof. I'm going to say Juventus 2-1. They
shut
down the
now
ball. And Lionel Messi.
Now now give me that talking in your best Arsene Wenger voice.
Well, the Juventus was a perfect soul and a cohesion that we haven't seen in a final in a long time. Is Barcelona is a known commodity, and Lionel Messi is a generation player of a generation. But so I think you have to look at the style and the way you're going to play it. So I think
it's perfect. Well, that's a good one. I like it. We're going to sign off with that. Another edition of In the Books. And for Aaron Heinz, and I'm Todd Starber, and we will talk to you next week.
Happy retirement to Brad Friedel as well.